Episode 415, April 8th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
What's up, everybody? I'm back. I was sick last week. You never said that. You just said I wasn't there. You left it open.
Well, I mean, do you think people thought, yeah, I guess.
Maybe they thought I just blew it off?
If I was a regular listener of the show and I heard that, I would assume you had a show.
Sure, which
but
is
Monday,
fine.
But Monday, you rarely miss because of a show unless you're like in Abu Dhabi.
Well, I could have been traveling back or something, and maybe I ran late or something. But I was feeling under the weather. It's been a long couple weeks here from doing, 98 Rock Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon, then driving to Charlotte for shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, driving home, and then home Monday, then driving to Virginia Beach Tuesday, and then getting back Sunday.
So, do you get irritable?
When I'm sick?
No, when you're doing all that driving.
I don't think, if the traffic's bad, but we had some nice, easy, the drive back was stupid for VA Beach because there's unnecessary Sunday traffic, which I hate.
I never get irritable when I'm on a long drive. Although, excuse me, if that's like a 4-hour drive up and back, there probably will be one fight between Katie and I. Will that happen between you and Tawanda if you have 8 hours in the car together?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. But she wasn't part of these drives, so we didn't have to worry about that.
Oh, cool. She didn't call.
No, well, yeah, of course she called. There's always. I don't like when she calls when I'm in traffic and she calls how's the traffic? I don't want to talk about the traffic if I'm in the traffic.
I just say that all the time when I come home and you have to tell you about your day that you already sucked and now you're back reliving it.
Exactly.
That's the last thing you want to do. Well, right. I got out a spreadsheet and I, you know.
You are totally full dog person. Your mug here, you're drinking coffee at night, whatever. The perfect child has four legs and fur.
Yeah, this is a cat mom. I actually tweeted this out.
Oh, it says cat mom. I didn't see that side.
Yeah, actually.
Happy
tails. This Aunt Tish gave me that. Aunt Mom. Sorry, I called her by her actual name. Aunt Mom gave me that, the cat mom. I've never owned a cat.
Yeah, I know you don't like cats.
We were talking, you were saying that every single time the Caps have a playoff game, it feels like we have a show.
Well, every time we have a show during the playoffs, it's also the Caps play that night.
You probably don't like that because we miss a part of the first period. I was going somewhere with this, but now I'm going to go in a different direction. But I like it because I like to watch the game with you. So
yes.
That makes a big difference,
yeah.
Right? So I get for me, it's probably not worth it to you because you're a real fan, right? You know although I know a lot of the players. I probably could name 11 or 12 Caps.
Yeah, no, I don't dislike it. If we're getting to the end, yeah, but I don't. But it's stressful, so I don't mind missing the first period and then watching it with you.
And that's all I really have to look forward to because my baseball team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes.
And right now, I've been having a lot of success on Twitter shitting on Chris Davis. Now, I'm sure everybody knows this, but since we're all around the country, maybe there's some people that don't. But Chris Davis, who is the first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles for the next 4 years.
Yeah, he signed a huge contract 3 years ago.
He'll be here this year, 20, 21, and 22. He'll be at an Oriole.
Yeah, aren't you happy about that?
He makes somewhere, what does he make, about something like $20 million a year.
Yeah, good living.
And so far this year, we're playing the 10th game. They're playing the 10th game, and he doesn't have a hit.
Yeah, he's not good at baseball, which is a problem.
Last year, he batted 168, which was the lowest batting average for a qualifier. I think it was in the history of baseball. I just read an article.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get a hit in his first two at-bats, he breaks the record. Now, by the way...
So you want to keep tabs of this tonight?
Sure, I want to. We'll probably know by the end of the show whether or not he broke the record.
Yeah.
When do you think the record was set? This surprised me.
The record for that batting average?
The record for the most...
Oh, the 0 for 50? Yeah.
I think it's like 0 for 47 or something like that, whatever it is.
Sometime in the 70s.
It was set in 2011.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Somebody was like 0 for 44 or whatever, but if Chris Davis somehow... Here's something else which is interesting. He's like 18th on the all-time strikeout list, Chris Davis. And if you look at the names around him, it's just everyone's a Hall of Famer, right? Every person around him is just such an accomplished career, and, you know, they're either in the Hall of Fame or they're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Or they're disgraced.
Yes.
That's the only people that are around him.
Well, you got a little publicity for tweeting about him.
Yeah. So I've been tweeting about how horrible Chris Davis is, and I've been getting a lot of love. So that's been kind of my go-to. So I went to opening day, the home opener. I went there. And I'm going to give him a shout-out right now, John Burkowski.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching Chris Davis, and he goes, "Hey, you know what? Maybe he's right-handed and he doesn't know it." He says it. I said, "Let me tell you something. I'm going to tweet that out, and it's going to blow up." Sure enough, I tweet it out. People go crazy. Channel 13, CBS Baltimore, WJZ,
yeah,
they put it online, and they say, "Hey, here's what somebody has to say," and they tweet me. And right below it says, "See some other of Joe Robinson's tweets."
And so they're all about Jordan Peterson and dogs.
No, I took all that off. Yeah. Not the dogs, though.
Yeah.
My stolen tweet, it's gotten me the most recognition.
Good
it's,
not for
even,
you.
It's not even mine.
Does he know about this?
No, well, what happened was when it was just doing well, I just screenshot it and sent it to him. I said, "I told you, you know, blah, blah, blah." But then when the article, it was on in that article, I said, "I don't have his phone number. I only have his business, you know," so I had my buddy text it to him. I haven't heard anything about it yet, but yes, I let him know that he's the one who deserves the fame. He's like,
well, there's no real fame. It's not like anything's happening because of this.
No, I've gotten a lot of offers as a result of being on CBS Baltimore online.
Well, there's a pitcher for the Nats, Trevor Rosenthal, a relief pitcher. You know what his ERA is?
Can it not be calculated?
Yeah,
or
it's infinity.
Yeah, because he's only given up runs. He's never gotten an out.
Yeah, he's given up not a single out. He's got 10 batters. So I want him to face Chris Davis. That would just be
entertaining. Oh, yeah, the two worlds colliding.
Yes.
Yeah, I did tweet out that I want Chris Davis to get a hit. So I can start calculating how much the Orioles are paying per hit. Because right now I can't do it.
Right.
Because well, he has zero.
Due to hit this inning.
No, I don't think so. Because it's they're at home, right? And the and he bats. Yeah. They're okay. At home.
Right.
Hey, they already got a run.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He's up right now.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
Holy hell. He's up.
Oh, this is podcast gold. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm back this week. I'm feeling much better. Thank you for asking. I had an eventful weekend.
Ball one, by the
Ball
way,
one.
Chris
oh,
Davis.
Jesus.
Continue. Sorry.
Just take. I went down to Virginia Beach at the Funny. Well, of course, I did Charlotte before that. Shout out to the Charlotte Comedy Zone. They're not... they don't buy as much merch as some of the other clubs, but they're great fucking laughers.
Chris Davis lines out to right.
That's positive.
Solidly hit ball, but yes. Unfortunately not a hit. So one more to break the record. Sorry, go ahead.
So what would you rather have, a crowd that's just great laughers, or they're good laughers, but they buy a lot of merch?
I'd rather them buy merch.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Why? What do you rather? See, here's the deal.
They still bought good merch. They just didn't buy legendary merch.
So let me say that. I don't really mean what I just said.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the good laughers. But this is more your career.
I need money more than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not how I meant to say, but this is... I have a day job, right? So I get to go to that in spite of all these other things that I do. Oh, God, I got a story that I can't tell on air, but I'll tell you off air. Right. I got my tax. Did I tell you about that? I got my tax bill.
No, I'm doing mine as we speak.
So I'm just going to write this down. This is what how much money I made last year that I didn't pay taxes on. Meaning, you know, like murder mysteries and 98 Rock and that I was 1099. And my rental property, that's how much
I made.
That's
a lot of money.
So this is what I paid. This is what my tax bill was.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Well, I had it, but only because I did that. And now all my savings is, you know.
Well, sorry to hear that, man. Sorry you made so much money.
Well, that sucked, getting that.
I think you need a better accountant. You need to be able to cheat it
more. No, it's even, he even said to me, he goes.
Because mine cheats. I mean, no, mine's legitimate, sorry.
Well, he said to me, he goes, if you want to add some stuff, let me know. So, like, if I wanted to amend it in some way, and I was like...
Yes, add some stuff.
Nah, I just paid it.
All right.
It was the right thing to do.
So, you know, I've been telling you about this Bobby Flay joke,
Trump needed it. Yes, go ahead, sorry.
So, I, you know, it's this joke about the show Beat Bobby Flay, which is a show about where somebody takes on Bobby Flay with their signature dish, and it's the dish that means the most to them in the world, and then Bobby Flay just destroys them. And... It started off just throwing it out there, getting good response, did really well. Then it did it a few times, and people didn't even act like they didn't know who Bobby Flay was. And then I go to Charlotte, and doing really well, and I'm recording these shows. And one particular show, I get a legitimate applause break at the end of it.
From?
That joke.
Really?
Yes. Now, I don't really tell jokes that get applause breaks, because... This is a joke that's more of a, it has an end, and there's more of a, it's more of a storytelling. It's more of an applause break kind of joke than just the joke trailing off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
So I don't have a lot of jokes like that that would lend themselves to getting an applause break. So I'm excited that I get to, you know, get off stage and listen to this. And I'm not sure what happened. And I have a theory that maybe, for whatever reason, if I don't have my phone on airplane mode and someone calls me during the recording stops.
Oh, man.
I only say that because it only recorded literally 5 seconds.
Oh, of your whole show?
And my whole show.
Oh, dude.
And you know who called me right as I went on stage?
Hold on. Was it me?
Joe Robinson.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, no, I can only apologize. But obviously it wasn't...
Yeah, I mean...
Intentional, but...
No. You could have... 5 minutes later, I'd have been okay, because it's in the beginning of the first part of the set. But that's okay.
What would you have done
with
it?
I'm sure you had something really important to tell me. What would I have done with it? Probably nothing. Just, you know what I would have done with it? I'd have memorized exactly how I said it.
Yeah, you know what? I always think about that. It's like, when I just did the polar bear plunge, I did a long joke that I just wrote for that show, and now I don't even remember what it was. And it worked.
Yeah. No, you should record it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you will not remember. I want to do, I got some stories from this past week, but I want to get to some follow-ups from last week. You told the story about Eric peeing in Gary's shower at your bachelor party.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I listened to Quality Time, and they talk about it as well.
By the way, I told Keckner all your poker stories and everything, and he goes, "Now, is that the guy? That's not the guy getting married, is it?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, that's a bad omen."
I don't believe it. Yeah. Hey, one thing I forgot to tell you. So Katie has plantar fasciitis, right?
Okay.
And there's a friend of my cousin Jennifer's who does acupuncture, okay?
Had it done.
So she goes, "Oh, well, then maybe I'll get my needles out and I'll try to... you know, help you out." So Katie got excited. That ended up not happening. But she told a story that, do you know that, did you hear this, Robbie?
No. We did talk about it with Katie, though, because I had that too, but I cured it.
Well, not the plantar fasciitis, this story. So the lady who's the acupuncturist, she said, "You know what happened to me?" She goes, I had somebody I was treating for plantar fasciitis, and I feel like I got the negative energy from them, and then I got it.
What?
That's what she said. That was, she had a cool name. Remember, Robbie, her name was Rawls.
Yes.
It was my cousin Jennifer's best name who said...
Best friend?
What'd I say?
Best name?
Also the best name. Yes. Rawls is a great name for a girl.
It's a first name, Rawls.
Yes, it's awesome. But, yeah, she, as a matter of fact, my cousin Jennifer kept saying, this is my best friend, Rawls.
It's not a nickname, it's the name.
But who does that?
Yeah.
This is my best friend. If a guy did that, you'd be like, what the fuck's this guy's problem? Okay. He doesn't have any friends. He wants to make sure that this person
does.
We
get it, dude. All right.
You like this guy. So, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I wonder if I've ever in my entire life, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get off on a tangent. So she said that somebody, but she didn't even say like psychosomatic, which that happens sometimes. Like something gets in your head and then next thing you know, you're feeling whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't get plantar fasciitis psychosomatically. That's a condition of your foot. You either have it or you don't.
Yes.
But she said that this person, the energy from this guy that she was treating passed on to her and she got plantar fasciitis.
Well.
Do you buy that?
No, I don't.
That sounds like crap, right?
I don't.
What do you think it is? Just an amazing coincidence?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
Yeah. It is pretty random though.
And I do believe that you can certainly work yourself up mentally where you have some sort of, you can't get a real ailment. You can certainly feel lethargic or you could feel tired or you could feel whatever, sad, depressed, whatever.
Yes.
That can come. But an actual, I mean, can you give yourself plantar fasciitis by hearing about it? How's that possible? It's not, right?
No, of course not. Of course not.
I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy.
It's a coincidence or you're a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my guess.
So, you talked about Eric peeing in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So, the part of that story, I don't know if you mentioned, is Eric doesn't really know Gary that well. Tommy, I don't think, knows him at all. So,
well, I don't think either one of them knew him before the... Gary was at the... I mean, you're
Eric
right.
Eric has been at Gary's house for fantasy football, but Tommy, I don't think, has ever met him.
Met him for the first time at the bachelor party.
But the real question, what would they have done... if they were left in your room,
they would have shit been worse. In the shower. Yeah.
You're saying they would have shit in the toilet and not flushed it. You think they'd shit in the shower?
No. I'm not saying they would have, but if I told you they did, your level of surprise wouldn't be a 10 out of 10.
Well, the minimum what they would do would be shit in your toilet and not flush it. That's the minimum, right?
That's the minimum.
Okay.
They'd go through all my shit.
Right.
They'd find something to ruin.
Would they tamper your toothbrush in a way that you would never...
God, I hope they wouldn't do that. Yes. I don't believe they would.
They wouldn't do that.
I don't think so, but...
You know what they would do? They would... This is what they would do. They would put on a pair of your boxers and then take a picture of it and then put it back folded nicely. And then the next day they would send you the picture. Like they were wearing all your clothes or something.
Yeah, no, and Eric could fit in my boxers now because he's lost 45
pounds.
Good, is that crazy? So that's a little scary.
They would do something, though.
Robbie, did you know Eric lost 45 pounds?
45, really?
Yeah, so that's not good because Eric, it's important that he's fat for our murder mystery.
Well, not in our new one. He doesn't need to be fat.
It helps.
Well, he's not friggin' Bradley Cooper suddenly.
That's for fucking sure.
All right. Good for you, Eric. I mean, come on. Even when he was in high school, he was big. He's not going to get down. He's still going to be lovable, chunky Eric. I like how you're really concerned. Like, you don't want him to live 10 years longer we can get some laughs off him being half naked.
No, I swear I'm happy that he's lost the weight. But it's not all good is all I'm saying. It's not. When there's things that he does, it's a lot funnier if he's fat.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, not because
all right, we're looking for a fat guy.
People are funny. Yeah, but it's any fat guy can't do it.
We're not looking for Jeremy Woodworth.
But the thing about it is that if he's, it's not that he's fat. It's that what he's willing to expose, like would you take your shirt off on stage?
No.
I would for $1 million,
well,
I would.
I wouldn't go. I'd do it.
I would for $1 million.
$50.
Me too. Yes, probably for 10. Yes. No, but hey, Orioles up 4-0.
If Eric turned like Joe Piscopo on us and got all buff, would you have to fire him, Joe?
I would never fire Eric. He's too good.
No, he would just,
we'd have to find something else for him to do. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Jeremy, before we go to break, we mentioned that he won Best Actor. By the way,
When he did, when he was the clown in Our Murder Mystery, he was a horrible actor. He didn't pull it off well. I don't think he did a good job of scaring people. He talked. I thought he bombed completely. But yet somehow he's the best actor in this movie for portraying the same character.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe it works, because what I found when he was just a clown walking around, he didn't follow instructions. That we know, right? Yes. And who knows? If you're a director, you can tell him if he doesn't do it, you can just have another take. So maybe that's... maybe that's what the difference is.
I thought his instincts would be, it's scarier if the clown doesn't say anything. Isn't that normal? You would think that?
You would, but he was particularly awkward. So, when he was the clown, and that makes me uncomfortable. Like, if you're awkward, then I feel awkward.
Right.
You know? Now, there's some people that are awkward and it's kind of adorable, but not if you're a big man.
But I thought he should be most comfortable in that outfit. In that costume.
I noticed that because...
that's when he's at his happiest place, in theory.
When he got on stage, and I don't know what clip you have, Robbie, is the one about him saying about doing the cocaine?
I didn't remember him mentioning cocaine.
So he says, yeah, I just did a bunch of cocaine. He made some joke, and I'm like, all right, well, he's comfortable enough to make a joke.
Yeah, it wasn't a good joke.
No, it was a bad joke. Yeah. It sounds like he was trying to say something like Justin would say, but it just didn't work. Justin Schlegel, by the way, for our listeners.
We have a YouTube of the entire thing. We'll put on the Patreon.
It's already up for our Patreon.
Well, don't get excited.
Yeah, you're going to really... actually, it's not worth the click. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, you're going to watch it now out of curiosity. But
the audio is so poor. That's the thing.
Lower your expectations.
Can I? Here's a spoiler alert.
It's very uncomfortable.
He goes, he said, I had to touch a lot of boys.
Yeah, that's always clever.
And no one, or children, did he say boys or children, Robbie?
He said boys.
And no one laughs.
No.
No, and people actually went, ooh.
Yeah, it's like, obviously that's some outlandish thing that he's saying that's not true or whatever, but nobody bought in. And then you're still up there, and can't imagine dying that horrible death.
Play a little clip of what you have, Robbie, if you don't mind.
The nominees for Best Actor, Brady Hatch in 72.
What are there, 10 people there?
Jeremy Woodworth, the killer clown meets the champion.
Yeah! He's got the biggest following, clearly.
Best actor.
All right, and the award for best actor goes to Jeremy Woodworth!
Yes! Chaos.
Hey, that scream is him.
Everybody's turning into fish. The owl hallucinations. Anyway, to get serious, I want to thank my co-star who should have really won this and actually helped me be a real actor. Although I like to make people laugh. Thank you, Tiffany Shepherds.
Aren't you forgetting to thank somebody very important?
Yes, and of course Pete Jackalone and my mom.
Hey, what a dick. You can go ahead and stop it, Robbie. What a dick.
Just getting to the boy touching part.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, keep playing then.
Well, I had to touch a lot of little young boys, which was not...
So he literally gave a name, which is co-star.
Yes.
And he goes, aren't you forgetting something? Like, dick, give me 2 seconds to say the other name.
That's true.
That annoyed me. I was like, give me 2 seconds to say the second name I'm going to say before you start acting like I forgot the person that directed the movie.
But you also know he didn't thank his wife, who's right there. Who's allowing him to not basically have a job.
No mention of the wife.
By the way, he also didn't thank the Robin Joe Show, which gave him a lot of publicity.
Or Eric Woodworth. Or did he shout out to Quality Time?
Robbie?
No.
It's almost as bad as your Twitter bio. Just says nothing.
Seriously.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll break down all my crazy shows with Louis C.K. Be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 20th at Amp by Strathmore. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, I was booked to do the Virginia Beach Funny Bone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We tried to do a murder mystery on Sunday that didn't work out for cast reasons. But Rick, the general manager, told me, yeah, that I'm pretty sure that Friday and Saturday is going to be sold out and good to promote the murder mystery for Sunday because I got a big name coming in, but I can't announce it until, you know, a week out.
Did you have speculation?
Well, he goes, I can't tell you, but you can just guess who it is. And I figured out that it's Louis C.K. He also ended up playing Richmond, the Funny Bone, the Tuesday and Wednesday before. So I was like, cool. I'll hang out an extra day and just watch. And then he goes, well, do you want to MC? And I said, yeah, I'd like to MC. That sounds like fun, right? So the weird thing about it is that normally you MC, you know, the show's over, you say thank you, good night, and you're done. But Louis C.K. didn't want the check drop. Normally in a club, you know, there's a last call, you order your last drinks, the check drops, you know, towards the end of the headliner set, which inevitably affects the set a little bit as people are factoring out their bill and what to pay. And so he didn't want that. You know, he hasn't probably done clubs in forever. He's been doing theaters and stadiums and arenas.
Yeah.
So the RFK check drop stadium was going to be after he gets off. But Rick was like, you got to stay up there because people will leave. We've had it happen before. So keep their attention. So I'm like, you know, we tell jokes. So the idea of telling jokes after the headliner. And
the headliner's Louis C.K.
And it's a check drop.
Yes, so, it's the worst.
So I'm like, well, now I'm actually dreading that part.
Yeah, and I'll bet you, because I think I've told the story a million times about my father coming to see me and going, and I didn't have a great set. And he goes, you know, you're telling those jokes a little bit differently. Meanwhile, aren't you worry a little bit that you kill for the first 10 minutes and then you go back up there and go, man, that guy must have run out of material. Like, they don't understand. You can't do well.
Exactly. So the first night, Friday, I didn't, he has two openers. They're very cool, very funny. And, I didn't see him until after my set was done. And I had a good set. You know, I'm a little in my head because I don't want to, you know, say anything about jerking off or anything, you know. It's just so you're,
and you have several jokes,
and I do have several
off,
jokes,
yeah.
But I'm always like afraid of what I'll just say off the cuff.
You gotcha.
Because I tend to just do things. My instinct is usually to say something funny, but sometimes we're running into issues.
So are you awkward because you're nervous?
No, I'm not. No, it was good, but I'm definitely.
Can I say something real quick before you continue? Normally, when I'm in those circumstances, I want those people to think I don't care. Not because, like, oh, they're no big deal, but I don't want them because they're on guard because people always want something. So I really go out of my way to make sure they know I don't want anything from you. That's why I get so pissed off when, what's the name of the guy who died of cancer, Robbie?
Robert Schimmel?
Yeah, wouldn't sit in the green room.
Right.
It annoys me. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about you. So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So I get off stage, and that's when I first met him, and he was like, hey, great job. And then I just went about watching, you know, the other two, and then I brought him up, and he was hilarious, you know.
Now, what do you do, 45 or an hour?
Does 45. He's definitely working on a new special. He addresses it off the top, the situation, and, you know, it's definitely dark and dirty, and, you know.
Does it get laughs?
Yes, he crushes. you had to put your cell phone in these pouches that lock. You hold on to the pouch the whole night, but you can't, to get to your phone, you have to walk out to this place where they unlock it. So no cell phones.
They give out 300 of these.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's got to be hard to get out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go by, walk by this area, and then an electronic, there's a magnet thing.
Oh, it's electronically. Yeah, it's got it.
Right. So, which was cool, and I think everyone was actually appreciating this, the freedom of not looking at your stupid phone.
Yeah.
And so the first show's good, and then I go up, and I'm like, I don't really know how to handle this check drop thing. So I'm like, how long? And they're going, oh, like 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, fuck.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So
15. Yeah. That's like doing another set and a half of what you just did.
Exactly.
Now, it's not that you don't have the material. It's that it's not going to work.
No. So I'm thinking I'll just crowd work this thing.
That's smart.
And, you know, I try to do that. Oh, you're, what was your favorite joke? And it's okay. There's a few moments. I tell a couple jokes. I get through it. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I also know that he's left. So I'm not really concerned.
I gotcha. Got it. Does he acknowledge, hey, I know this is hard, but this is what we do?
Well, it's not him saying I have to do jokes. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
it's,
you just get up there and the you can club. Say the alphabet or whatever. Yeah,
right. So then I see Rick, the GM, and he goes, yeah, if you want to like play a game or something, we'll give away, you know, a gift card or something. And I'm like, okay. But then I can never think of an idea for a game. So Saturday night, there's two shows, so I know he's not leaving after the first. So that's the one I'm concerned about. How am I going
to
do?
You want him to know you're funny.
Right. Well, not that. I'm concerned. Well, first of all, I do my set. I go back on stage. I go back in the green room. He's talking to the comic that went on after me, and they're going over a set. He's giving some advice, and then he goes to me, hey, that moving joke is really great. Do you allow for any criticism or critiques? I go, you know, absolutely. He goes, yeah, you know, that opening joke, I could tell you sped through the line because I didn't understand what you said. Then I figured it out later. You've probably been telling that joke a while. And I go, yeah, you're right. That's something I need to work on. And then we got into this whole just idea about, you know, setups in general and how you really, Chris Rock will just literally repeat it two or three times. You know, women are like this. They're like, you know, and then just, right. And like, you can't really, you can't explain it too much because people, they're not, you know where the joke is going, but they don't. And,
joke was it that he was referring to that you sped through?
I said, it's about, the ID channel, how there's no reruns on that channel.
Right.
But I sped through it and to him, it sounded like I said, there are reruns.
I gotcha.
And then he figured out once the context that I was saying that there are no reruns. So I made a point to,
by the way, he loves comedy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can tell.
And then he was talking to the other comic just about, you know, when your set is getting good, it's not when you kill, because everyone can kill if the stars align. It's when your worst set isn't that much worse than the kill.
Yeah, no, he's right about that.
And so we're getting into some good comedy stuff. And then after that show, I go up. And I try to do some crowd work, and there's nothing, right?
Right.
So I just, like, start doing jokes, and I just say, look, people, I know this is fucking weird, okay? The greatest comic of all time just went on stage. Yeah. Now I'm telling my jokes. But you know what? The club wants this to happen, so it's going to happen, so we're going to make it work, and we're all in this shit together, okay? So I plow through, and I mean, I'm working hard.
Right.
And I'm getting some laughs. It's definitely not, like, if I had that set off the top, I'd be upset. But I feel like I'm going for it.
Right.
And I get off stage and I go up to the green room and they're all in there. And his opener goes, man, you didn't even break a sweat. And I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. And like, and they're like, they all know the deal. And Louis's like, yeah, everyone knows the situation. So I felt like I garnered some respect.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you don't bomb, that's a win.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I made a reference about how this porn star has sex with you, and then I show up to, like, try to fuck you as well. And you're like, well, yeah. So really, we don't need any more, you know.
And, that's funny.
Yeah. So then, you know, he had told a joke that I had heard him tell at the Big Hunt when he dropped in a couple years ago, and I mentioned that. And he thought, and he was like, okay, that's cool, because I just, that's the first time I told it then. So I felt like we had a nice, you know, we didn't talk too much. But for the late show, he was, he didn't get down right on time. I had to wait a second because he was watching, the aforementioned Chris Davis.
He was watching to see
if
he got
out. He was watching the Orioles Yankees game. He's a Red Sox fan, so he's rooting for the Orioles. But Chris Davis was coming up, and then, so his opener was telling me about that. I was like, yeah, I'm on like a 5,000 text string about the Orioles and Chris Davis. So I know all these facts that you're telling me.
Hey, what's interesting is the Orioles and the Yankees are in the same division, but he was still rooting for the Orioles.
Yes.
Because he knows that the Orioles are fucking horrible,
zero,
right?
Zero.
Well, let me give you the good news. Trey Mancini just got on base.
Okay.
Chris Davis is the fourth batter in this inning. So now, as long as there's no double play, we're on the air, we can literally hear history being made. Now, the Orioles lost 21 games to start the 1987 season.
Yeah.
And that was a record. And so having the most losses to start a season and also the most consecutive at-bats without a hit and the lowest at-batting average for any qualifying player.
That's your team.
Yeah, that's the team that I root for. 1983. Thank God I'm old. I wouldn't know
you've
a championship.
I've seen some happiness.
But I was.
That's
been
a long time.
It happened at the best time. When I entered my freshman year of high school is when they won the World Series. And that's probably the best. You're still looking at it through a child's eyes.
Yes.
You know, I was 13 years old or whatever. Oh, yeah, that was a great time. Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken finished 1-2 in the MVP voting
Robbie's
that year.
Robbie's getting pissed. He's like,
doesn't matter. That's great.
You're telling more Orioles stories.
Loved it. Loved it. Anyway, sorry.
So he, I'm sure you'll see all these jokes when he has a special, which I think he tries to shoot later in the year. He was cool. There was a moment there where everyone was in the green room and they were just telling stories about comics, and it seemed like very much like any other, as someone at his level of another profession is going to be different, because a comic is just, you know, a famous comedian is different than like a famous, like you're not going to have a conversation with Beyonce.
Right.
You know,
he's a real person is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't be maybe if you're Howie Mandel, but really, if you want to be a great comic, you do have to be a real person. You can't be, I guess you could be Russell Brand. There are people who are rock stars, but that's not what, you can't look and act like Louis C.K. and be a rock star. You're not. You do have to appear to be an everyman, and it's almost like, hey, I relate, and he's talking to the darkest part of me.
Right.
Yeah.
And as a comic, even at that level, you're still doing, you know, basement comedy club rooms like The Cellar and stuff that are awesome, but it's not glamorous.
Yeah. You know what? I saw Mickey. I'm sorry. I just buried the lead. What's the word I'm looking for? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So I saw Louis C.K. at the Baltimore Comedy Factory three locations ago when it was above Burke's and opening for him. The MC was Chris White.
Nice.
At the
DC Improv, yep. Now one of the managers.
And the feature was Mickey Coachella.
Good show.
And I made two friends of mine. I said, you got to see this guy. This guy's hilarious. And this was like around 2005.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a household name. And he was fucking hysterical. hysterical. So that was cool. But the point that I wanted to make was that he recorded his set. Mm-hmm. Did he still do that?
Yep, still records. Listen, I saw him in the green room listening back.
That's the same thing he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that sounds horrible.
No, I realize that's the difference, is that after the show, do you go out and drink like I do, or do you go back in the room and listen? Or the next day, it doesn't have to be right after, but do you listen and critique and go over it? And he definitely was doing that. Look, you can't keep writing a new hour every 18 months.
Unless you literally toil at it.
Exactly.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You just can't.
Like, I listened to this show back. I listened to it.
Yes.
But I couldn't listen to it twice. I mean, I guess I could, right?
Yeah.
If I was like, I want to make sure that everything is, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine what Robbie does where he pours through every single moment of the show in order to take out every gasp and breath and hiccup or whatever. But I guess it's a, you know what? And Robbie will be able to explain this better, but that's probably has more to do with how he's built.
Yeah.
Than his obligation to make sure that the show is great. Not that that isn't part of it, but he's built as that type of perfectionist, right? That's why he's got to show up to the venue. If the show's at 7, he's there at 2. That's why.
That's our Robbie.
Robbie, you got any thoughts there?
I think that's pretty accurate.
So, Chris Davis is up, guys. Just letting you know.
And Amazing Caucasian had a suggestion for you, Rob, in chat.
Shoot.
He said you just overthought the whole thing. You should have just gone up there and done the pie plate close.
I totally should have. Just over and over again. Yeah.
Then it didn't work. Yeah. All right. So
he also, by the way, he tipped me. He tipped the entire staff of the establishment, which was very generous. So
two strikes on Chris Davis.
Okay,
no balls.
Here comes a strikeout.
This is it for the record. It's the third pitch. There's really no way he won't strike out if he's behind 0-2.
No,
it's guaranteed. Sorry, go ahead.
But the cool thing about him seeing versus just going on in the middle of the show is that you do get that experience of feeling that rush from the crowd as you introduce them and they cheer and they stand up. And then at the end, when you say, you know, thank you, and they stand up, you get to feel that. And that was definitely, it's cool, man. It would be nice. It would be nice to have that level of love, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Did you look at him and say, I need to work harder at this?
Yeah, but I've thought that already. But yeah, but I also,
you're a pretty hard worker. I mean, I think you and I both beat ourselves up a little bit because clearly we could spend more time. But you know, it's not like we don't work hard. We do.
No, we do.
Yeah.
But I also felt like, you know, a lot of people made a point to come up to me and say really good job. So I felt like that my, the whole show, no one's performance was lost on everybody. They really got a great show from start to finish. And they didn't just leave there thinking Louis C.K. and then nothing about me or anybody else. So that,
what are you doing, 10 or are you doing 7?
I did 10, and then at the end I'm doing like 10.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, and then the other two acts, what are they doing, 15 and 15? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Do we have an update on Chris Davis?
Chris Davis, he fouled off, which is hard to believe, is in the strike zone, and he actually was managed to get his bat on it. But there's just no chance he's not going to strike out.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Robin Show. She'll be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So during the
well, let me just say, Chris Davis lines out to left for the record.
Yes! Well, the record is tied now, right? He needs to break the record.
Oh, sorry. Well, we're not going to broadcast that long.
No, we're going to do another half hour. So during the late show, during the post-CK set, the 10 minutes during the check drop, I did do some crowd work with a guy in the front row. He, you know, he's wearing shorts and it was particularly cold down there. So that's one of my go-tos to shit on.
Only white people wear shorts when it's cold, right?
So I'm shit on that. And then I have this joke now about, you know, being a good lover and basically, you know, now the idea of being a good lover is just she lets you do you again. And it's pass fail. You're not trying to get an A anymore.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question before you continue. That was cool. He didn't have a problem with you doing crowd work?
No, I don't think he. No, this was after. This is during the check
trip. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I guess he said do whatever the hell you can
do. Yeah. He didn't care at that point. So, and he's gone then because on the late show, he's leaving right the second he's off stage, he's in the car.
Right.
Because he's not even getting paid. They're paying his people. He's not there in the green room.
He's not like you waiting in the room to get a check. Right?
Exactly. So, and then I start making fun of this guy because he said he's a good lover. I ask, are you a good lover? He goes, yes. And I go, well, a lot of good lovers are here with no women, you know. And so I start shitting on him. Like, you're not a good lover. You can't even wear pants, you know. So I don't think anything of it. It's just regular, you know, shitting on him. So then afterwards, he comes up to me and goes, dude, that was so great, man. That's been one of my, like,
was
fantasies.
He with a girl?
No, he's with a guy.
Okay.
And I made fun of that. Is he a good lover? Does he know? And then there was another couple he was with. I don't know if he was with them or they're just sitting together. And he goes, oh, great. That was one of my fantasies to get shit on. And it was so great. You just slammed me. Oh, well, thanks, man. I give him my card.
Did you say, no problem. Come to the next
show. No problem. Yeah. So then I get an email. He goes,
what's his first name?
His first name is Michael, but he's in the band Galaxy Dynamite.
Galaxy Dinosaur. Do they do originals? Is he young?
Yeah, I think they do originals because we're going to play some. He goes, last night at the Funny Bone, "Dear Rob, ever since I first started to see comedy, my dream has been for a comedian to make fun of me on stage. Not because of me heckling or disrespecting the performance. Anybody can make fun of anybody, but to have a professional, all caps, make fun of you and to pay money for it to happen, that's something I've always wanted.
Right.
And last night you made it happen, man. Thanks for absolutely slaying into me towards the tail end of the show. I was wearing shorts, LOL." Yeah, I know. "Good times. After many, many years, you knocked something off my bucket list, and I'll never forget it."
It's a weird thing to have.
"You killed it, by the way. Great show. Cheers." That's on his bucket list.
I want to be humiliated in public.
But that's because he's probably always sitting up front, and he doesn't want to influence. So he doesn't want to heckle.
Right.
I hear it on. So he just.
But he wants it to happen. But if you ask for it, it's insincere. So exactly. He sits there, and finally, after seeing comedian after comedian right. after comedian, the MC of a four-man show finally yes. shit on him at the end of the show.
And he had to think it's not happening tonight because the show's over. There's no comedy after Louis C.K., but there it was.
Yeah, it's like he was just looking for that white whale, basically,
yes.
and then finally it happened. But he's in a band called Galaxy Dynamite. That's a fucking horrible name, by the way.
Yeah, he's the drummer. There's some links on here. Robbie, do you have a taste of this? Oh, nice.
I think he deserved to be shit on.
Yeah, my.
Give me a little more.
Come
give
on,
me, give me a little
keep,
more.
Keep it playing.
Give me a little more.
Play it out.
It's their entire concert, Rob.
How long is it?
Like 28 minutes.
Let's let it play.
it's almost 40 minutes.
Next time I see him, I'll just start playing his music. That'll shit on him.
Is this song called In Your Eyes?
It doesn't have a listing. It just has the whole thing. Well, thank you, Michael. I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
The lead singer is bigger than Eric Woodworth.
Well, now he is. Who isn't? That's the skinny motherfucker.
Let's see. They don't have a
he's bigger than Jeremy Woodworth.
Page. Oh, here they are. Is this one of the guys? Let me go to images, Rob. Tell me which one of the guys. Which one of the guys is him?
On the he's in the middle.
That's him right there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The guy on the left is the lead singer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three-man group. They're like Rush.
Oh, yeah. Here they are right here. Man, look at that room they're playing.
Galaxy Dynamite. That's going to be in chat next week. You know, that's
oh, these guys
happen.
Are talented. Look, this guy's he's a vocalist
Fuck
and the
yeah,
bassist.
They're talented.
This guy's he's a keyboardist and the lead guitarist and a vocalist.
Yeah.
There's your boy
I
back there.
I would not know they were talented from that song.
Dude, hey, your group. Boy. Oh, you didn't even give it a chance. Your boy back there is not mic'd. So that means
he's not a singer.
Yeah, it's not a singer. Hey, here's their album cover.
Did Chris or Steve-O make that?
God, that's so bad.
Oh, come on.
Robbie, how do you feel about the guy? So, Robbie, will you post that on our Rob and Joe Show page, get the Galaxy Dynamite?
Sure.
What would you rather, listen to their album every day for a week or read your uncle's book, Resentments Kill?
Oh, I'd rather read Resentments Kill.
No way. You're not reading a book.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's easier just to drive to work listening to Galaxy Dynamite.
I did feel bad because I saw my Uncle Charlie. I didn't talk about this. And I had a long conversation about him. And I didn't want him to say, did you read it or did you buy it? Because
of course.
It's not him. I'm not reading a book. I'm not going to do it. I mean, I know I talk about how busy I am, but I really don't have time to sit down. When I decompress, it's not to do homework. And you know what else I heard the great Jordan Peterson say?
Oh, God.
He said, nowadays, people process the spoken word so much, they're just so exposed to it that people can't process the written word like they can process the spoken word. It's not close.
Well, that's bad. We should get back to that.
Yeah. Well, why? But you might be right, but tell me why you think that.
I think, I don't know why I think that, but I still think it's true.
For the first time in the history of mankind, the spoken word is more accessible than the written word. It's okay. Never happened before because of YouTube. Because of
yes.
YouTube. Newspapers are obsolete, and now whenever you want information, you go and somebody tells it to you.
Will he be at the wedding, the author of Resentments Kill?
No, I feel bad. I actually didn't invite those guys, but I did invite his son, and he's not coming.
Well, I think it would be nice, you know, with you just losing. It's his brother, right? That died?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
So to reach out to that part of the family, I think it would be nice at the wedding if someone would read a passage from Resentment's Kill.
No, hey, these guys, I'm looking at Galaxy Dynamite. They must have been together a long time because look how young they look in
this
picture.
They're a great band.
there's your boy right
they're
there.
They're having a lot of fun.
Is he wearing shorts
there?
He
should be.
No, he's not, but this guy is.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
Hey, Marcus, will you play Galaxy Dynamite on your radio station?
Yeah.
Marcus, is that...
Sure, I'll spin it. I'll put it right next to Imagine Dragons.
Spin it, yeah.
Do you hate... Up, hold on, I'm interested in what you just said. Do you hate Imagine Dragons?
No. I play a lot of Imagine Dragons, so I'm sure it'll fit right in.
I don't love them, but they're catchy, but I hear people talking about them similar to Nickelback.
No, I don't hate them.
They're not. I don't think they're Nickelback.
Right. They're better than Nickelback.
They have a horrible name, though. That is,
they do.
That's one of
they're
the problems.
No Galaxy Dynamite. Well, all right. We won't read Resentment's Kill at the wedding. I might work it into my best man speech.
Well, let me jump in. So I was talking to my Uncle Charlie about how sales were going.
Yeah.
And he had to self-publish, so that means if he sells a copy, I think Amazon gets 90%.
Well, we know that Scott Bergson bought one from Mac Bergson. Very kind of him.
So I'm not sure how that works. I guess... Do you buy it like for a Kindle or whatever? Maybe that's it. So they, you give them, I guess, your book electronically. And if somebody, I didn't even ask if it was a hard copy, but I know Mac Bergson.
No, you got a hard copy.
Got a hard copy. But I think he only gets 10%.
No, it's got to be.
That's $2.50 if it's a $25 book.
So he sold how many?
Well, I think the first month that it was out or whatever, I think he sold like 25 copies.
That's a lot.
I don't know. Is it? Doesn't sound like
yeah,
a lot.
For this, I mean, we should sell zero. 25's a lot.
So
it's a lot of hits for Chris Davis in a season.
Yeah, he'll never get to 25. Well, he's on a rate to get
to. Chris Davis have more hits or more sold of these books this year?
That's a good question. I mean, Chris Davis is lined out twice this game, so he's going to get a hit.
Okay, but if all the sales are they over? All the family members have bought it. The run is over.
Well, if you get 300 at bats and you bat 150, you get 45 hits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be close, right?
It's going to be real close.
Well, could he really bat 150 again?
Well, if he's over 70, he's not going to get any more at bats. At some point, they're going to stop putting him out there.
No, you can't. Now, we'll get back to a resentment skill. You can't. Because he makes $161 million.
So what?
There's nobody. We don't. The
no one can do worse than no
that's
hits,
That's not
Joe.
The point. That's not the point. The point is that the Orioles have nothing in the minor leagues that they're trying to either, they're ready. Let's get him up here and get him some at-bats.
He's not ready.
No, I got that. We have nobody playing first base.
You can't have anybody hit 200?
No. I guarantee you the guy in A is better than Chris Davis.
Yes.
That's a fact.
And he'll cost the league minimum.
But you can't bring that guy up and ruin his progression. You know what I mean?
There's got to be a guy in AAA. He's 27. He's got nothing. He's just hanging on. They can hit 230.
And then you're going to sit Chris Davis, whatever. Anyway, okay. So my uncle said he's working on his second book, right?
Hey, Mac, it's your Christmas present for next year.
And I was like, well, you should probably try to see if this one can have some success. But I didn't say that. I love my uncle, and maybe that's the direction to go. His wife said, this time you need to get an agent. I was like, well, isn't that hard to do? Clearly, if he could have gotten an agent, he would have done that. But I don't think agents are falling all over themselves to get the book of someone they've never heard of before.
Right.
It's got no traction. You know, it has to be... Something has to happen.
He doesn't have enough money to give some to an agent. You need to keep every dollar for yourself.
Yeah, if he's only getting 10%.
Right.
Let's go. I'm going to look and see how much it costs online. Hold on.
So, can I move on, Joe?
Yeah, but I'm going to look it up.
All right. So, Tuesday, the first night of the week in VA Beach, they have a monthly contest, a Clash of the Comics. And I was going to close it out at the end. You do 20, 25 minutes or whatever while they're tallying the votes. But they also needed me to judge. So I'm like, oh, great. Now I got to pay attention, right?
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Resentments Kill. If you want a soft coverage, $22.99.
I don't.
If you want the one that Mac Berkson got,
oh, wow.
It's $39.95.
Nice gift.
That's, and then the ebook is $4. Who would buy, whatever. Sorry. Go ahead.
How much is an autograph copy? Is that possible?
It's less.
So I have to judge this thing. And, you know, there was actually a few people that were quite funny. One guy actually, I laughed out loud. He said, a lot of people say Donald Trump is the worst president of all time. And I don't think so. I think the worst president ever was the president of the Selena fan club. You had one job, not murder Selena.
Hey, Katie read that. She laughed harder at that than anything she's ever. Yeah, liked. Yeah, she loved it.
Yeah,
did that guy
I
win?
I was repeating that joke all week.
Okay, he didn't win, but I gave him better score just for that one joke. He was super dark, and I liked him.
I remember when I used to have to judge the Comedy Factory competition, and I hated every comic. I don't know why I couldn't find myself. I couldn't
right.
get myself in a place to like these guys. And that was the finals. In the ones leading up, there was a lot of great comics that came through. I remember Mike Quinlan did well and Robert Andrew and a bunch of people did really well. I'm talking about in the finals when it was all just, you know.
But I felt,
although Tommy won it one year, and Tommy's awesome.
I felt bad for Travis, who runs it. He's also in our Murder Mystery before down there. You know, you have to get there by 7, and you have to have X amount of people on the show bring to get on the show. And then they take the top 12 who brought people.
Yeah, that's the same as it was.
He has some guy giving him shit for not, he didn't get on. And he's like, by the way, I get paid by the number of people here. I want you to have people here. The box office gives me the fucking list.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything to do with this.
Go talk to them. Yes. Right, right.
So there's this huge argument that happened. And he's like, you realize that it's in my best interest to allow your people to count towards my money. I'm just costing myself money. So that was a whole little side thing that was happening. Classic local comedy bullshit. But there's a guy that goes up, and he brought the most people. And about a minute in, I just go to the wreck, the GM. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Because I'm like, this is bad. He goes, yeah, this is what happens on this show. Because he's brought all these people, and they're just giving courtesy laughs. And I'm like, this is fucking rough, right? Then I see him afterwards. He's like, yeah, I'm so proud of how I did. I didn't forget one joke. And I was like, well, this ain't a memory contest, okay?
Yes. Yeah. It's not like you're learning the preamble. You're supposed to make people laugh. Yeah, when you bring the audience and you don't crush, that's always bad.
Yeah. And then he's thinking, yeah, man, I thought maybe I was going to get in the top three. And I'm like, what the fuck?
He didn't make it?
No. And then I invite
Were
this...
people booing the people that came to see him?
No, but they were, you could tell they were just... Then later on, he posted about it, and I was like, these poor people that had to come see this. But anyway, so I invite a friend of mine to go to Cheesecake Factory afterwards, and then I get there first, and then I show up, and this guy, he brings that guy, and I'm like, motherfucker.
He did?
Yes.
So you had to lie to
that
guy.
I had to hear more about his set.
God, that's the time you wish you had Joe Robinson.
Yes.
Because I would have been like, dude, this is not for you.
Yeah, you would have.
But you totally just, would. You gave him.
Because he has the sheets. Because he has my judging right there.
And you're just last.
Yes. I'm the outlier. Everyone else is just being nice. And I. Yeah.
How did you defend it?
No, it doesn't have my name on it. I never copped to it.
Oh, so you're like, no, it's not me. I thought you were the
I never
best.
Even said that I judged. I just fucking, I think he might have known, but I just. Acted like I didn't. I just didn't mention it. So then a girl goes on. She asked before the show, hey, can I give you a sound, a song to play during my set? And they go, no, we don't do that for anybody. You just got to tell jokes. She goes, okay, I'll just play it on my phone. Okay.
Seriously?
So her name is Ton of Fun.
Oh,
I literally had to ask three times. Is it, that's what I'm, Ton of Fun.
What if she was skinny?
By the way, she wasn't that fat.
She wasn't?
No.
Give me a celebrity that she was similar to.
Leslie Jones.
She's not fat.
No.
Okay.
So I mean, she's not skinny. She can lose weight, but she's not fat enough
to make... It's not like Rebel Wilson.
No.
Yeah, no. Nobody says that's the fat comp. No. Okay, gotcha. No.
So she does a song parody about how much she loves bacon to the song I'm Going Down. I'm going down.
You mean I'm going...
my whole world's up.
What's that?
Mary J. Blige.
I don't even know it.
You probably know it.
Do you know it, Robbie?
Nope.
So that... I'm just...
I don't even know... I think she might have covered it. It might even be an older song.
Well, there's a song I'm Going Down by Bruce Springsteen.
No.
But...
Different song.
You've probably heard it.
There it is. I'm Going Down.
Play it.
We're not going to be able to hear it through.
For you to know. So... But she plays it on her phone.
Sorry, it's got an ad.
So she puts the phone up to the mic, but then to sing, she has to put the mic up to her mouth. So there's no reason to play it on the phone.
How'd it do?
It did nothing. Because it's like bacon and eggs. We're out of bacon. My world's upside down. It just fucking makes no sense. And I'm
so did she have a karaoke version that she wanted you guys to play? Or did she was going to sing over the...
Over it.
God.
Yes. That was her big closer.
Did she win?
She won. She came in first. No, she did not win. Ton of fun. Did not win.
Have you ever considered just voting ironically? Just to be like, fuck it. I got to have my own fun. Tons of fun. This dickhead who brought everybody and I had to eat with at Cheesecake Factory. You do love Cheesecake Factory, by the way. You've mentioned it many a time.
I have?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we used to have this conversation on here. It's probably been 4 years now.
All right.
Where we said, if you could eat anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And everything that they served was good for you. Mm-hmm. Meaning, it tasted the same, it was the same. Like, if you went to Five Guys and ate one of their burgers, it was good for you.
Yes.
I said, clearly, McDonald's, it's cheap. I like everything that they have, but I just don't eat it because it's so horrible for you. You could save a ton of money. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. I thought that was it. You wanted it to be Cheesecake Factory. And I don't remember your logic, but I do remember you loving Cheesecake
Factory. They have the most options. They also serve alcohol, and they have cheesecake. So, I mean, I'm getting all of my vices.
Alcohol, cheesecake's so good. But they have desserts at McDonald's. They're not as good as cheesecake. Yeah. I understand that, but the other things have to factor in, right? By the way, I never get sick either. I can eat a fucking sausage McMuffin every day.
Oh, no.
And a hash brown?
Yeah, they're breakfast, but I don't...
And sodas?
But I don't...
I don't drink?
Crave any of the other food anymore. I do like the breakfast. Well, no, I went to Cheesecake because I was still not feeling well. I wasn't drinking. And, like, so the bar that's next door that has food, I didn't want to go there because it's just a bar scene. And then... And Cheesecake Factory is open, and it was right there, and it just seemed like the thing to do. But, yeah, I do like Cheesecake Factory.
I don't know if we can, we've been going on an hour. Yeah, I don't know if we can hang on two more batters.
Oh, can we, Robbie?
Robbie, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? I'm just saying, because right now.
It's a record.
There's no outs. We have the Orioles have a runner on second. So that means that you're definitely going to see Chris Davis. We'll see history being made for ineptitude. Nah, Robbie doesn't like it. All right, no. You're going to have to find it out on your own, guys. Sorry about that.
Oh, and next week we'll tell you about a huge break, an opportunity for one Chris Restivo.
Oh, my gosh. We can't tell that right now, I guess.
I don't want people to get wind of it and then make it so it doesn't happen.
Yeah, okay. So, all right.
Have I said too much?
You might have. Well, I mean, he's posted it on his social media.
That's true.
So, since it's public, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, Chris Restivo got his start on this show.
Yes.
When he did his tennis ball impersonation. It was so long ago. It was the first place I lived other than with my parents after I got separated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was my place in Odenton when I had that apartment. And now I own a house and I'm getting married. That's how long ago it was when we had Chris Restivo on. But Chris Restivo, the inning's over, not going to see him. But anyway, Chris Restivo said on Facebook, God, 98 Rock sucks, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's horrible now. If they had me, it'd be better. And the great Justin Schlegel reached out to him and said, well, let's get you on and see what you can do. I know. I'm not sure how I feel about that either.
It's not till next week. So.
It sounds much better maybe in theory, but I guess we'll find out. Justin will find a way to make it work. But,
okay, what's more likely, Chris Restivo crushes it or Chris Davis has three home runs in the next 10 days?
Well, Chris could crush it.
No, not.
You know what I mean?
No, no. He provides the crush.
That can't happen. So that's Chris Davis. But the Chris Davis has hit 50 home runs. He's a big, okay, giant ox guy. So, yes, something could happen where he could hit 3 home runs. That could happen. Chris Restivo cannot just crush.
Well, Chris Davis has 0 hits. That was going to hit 3
home
runs.
I understand that, but he also was 3rd in the MVP voting 4 okay. years ago. So, I mean, it's not like...
Well, Chris Restivo did the tennis ball impression. It was amazing.
That's true, but I think that was us, not him.
Can we give Chris Marcus's call-in number and have him call Marcus a show?
I think we can.
He's a big star now. All radio shows.
Marcus, hey, look, I'm trying to rebuild a radio station, not kill it. Thank you.
Can you have him talk up the Galaxy Dynamite record or whatever?
Maybe we can get the same agent that represents Resentment's Kill to represent Chris Restivo. All right. Well, I'm at the DC Improv this week.
Yeah, it's going to be... you probably will be able to get tickets when this comes out. It depends. If it comes out on Wednesday, you know where we are right now?
We're less than 100, so we're getting close. So, yeah. DC Improv, April 11th. We're at Winchester the 13th. April 12th, I'm at the Improv. Someone has rented out the entire venue. It's their 50th birthday party. They are a heavy hitter.
They must be.
Yeah.
If they rent out a weekend night.
They have to rent out 2 shows worth of
food and drink, yeah, and whatever.
Right.
That's
exactly.
They make some money, those
people.
I'll
have some details from that. And then Amp by Strathmore. That's in Bethesda, April 20th. And April 20th, Boomy Temple up in the White Marsh area. DieLaughingProductions.com.
You can see 4 different shows, right?
Yeah.
Sing for Your Life,
impressive.
Back to the 80s, the 90s, and
Newlywed.
Yeah. Actually, if you wanted to, if you were willing to drive to Winchester, that's the only one that's very far away, you could go to D.C., Winchester, Bethesda, Baltimore, and you could see 4 separate shows.
If you come to the first 3, you get the 4th one for free.
Yeah, there you go. It's a commitment.
See ya.
See ya.